Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, December 1st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, or literally the word Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. You don't even have to add your name to a mailing list or give a credit card. You just click the link, download the file, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It also contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope you will choose to do that and that others choose to do that soon and often, because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives as they apply these tools in their life. And secondarily, it tends to promote comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. If you have any of those to share with us, please do so. Give us a call at 563-999-3581. And when you call that number, if you choose to call that number and press 1, it will put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. Sometimes, when the flow of the show is right, I'll turn on your microphone right away. But if there's a delay, please be patient. I will wait until it seems appropriate in terms of the flow of the show. And you can also email me at tjh@mindshiftersacademy.org, or you can go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website and click on the contact form and send me an email through that. Or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. We'll address your comment or question, answer or testimonial, and then as time allows, let you know what day and time we did that so you can go back into the archives and listen to the feedback or the response. Area code 610, is this Susan?
It is, and Dr. Tim, I listened in my usual middle-of-the-night insomnia session. I listened to the Pratervan thing, finally. All I can say is it bears listening to probably many more times. And I know you've said that, but I do have a question about it. I heard for the first time, this is not like a church blessing. Well, I'm in the Anglo-Catholic / Eastern European American religious tradition that's white and Anglican and all this stuff, and the word blessing has certain meanings, but he said it's not like that, and he said it originates in the heart. And, you know, I had started practicing years ago when you first introduced the book to us. I loved the book. But it dropped off after a while, and I do it once in a while. But the fact that he said it originates from the heart and that he says, I love you first, blows my mind. And the question is, and I love how you asked him, well, how do we do that? Or somewhere in there you wanted a method or something. He just said he says it, and he means it. Well, I can say it and mean it, but I don't feel it. Is feeling it, sometimes I do, but I mean, most of the time I don't. Is that important?
Yeah, and so that's why we're invited to practice it until we can feel it, to find, just like we do when we're doing the worksheet process in step four, I frequently, especially if it's in a support group or on the internet show, I will have people stop and do a brief meditation where they focus on a memory, recent or distant past, where they felt this safe, happy, connected, contented, joyful energy. And regardless of the situation, it might be a vacation, it might be interaction with a different person or a different activity in their life altogether, from whatever they're doing the worksheet on. But we stop and we demonstrate to ourselves that we have the capacity to access joyful thoughts. And if we pour enough of our mind energy or loving thoughts, and if we pour enough of our mind energy into those thoughts, we start to feel the shift in our energy system. I talk about, putting my hand over my heart space and feeling that warm, loving energy spreading in my heart center. So if you don't have it right away, I just literally finished an email to somebody who is going through something and they are just racked with hatred for the person that betrayed them in a relationship, et cetera, and disrupted their life so thoroughly. And they're talking to me about how miserable they are, how their body is aching and they're, caught with, excessive tears and obsessive negative thoughts. And so I sent them a note and said, I understand, I get it, and you might want to ask yourself, when will you have suffered enough before you're willing to try sending that person a blessing? Because the actual Pierre Pratervan blessing process was born of just such a situation. Where in his estimation, this person had done something that was very inappropriate, very wrong, very abusive to Pierre, and Pierre was racked with depression and hateful thoughts.
Mm.
And so, how long was he going to be willing to go? Well, for him, it was quite a while, but when he finally woke up, it's what gave rise to this blessing process itself. And when he first started it, it wasn't easy. It was antithetical to everything he had thought and felt and been taught. Why would I send loving thoughts to those who hate me and do good to those who despitefully use me? It doesn't make any sense from the conscious logical mind. And yet there's a key in it based in our emotional energy system, our heart center, our soul, whatever you want to call it. And it uses and it benefits from the observations that our science has and our other philosophical and spiritual teachings have that tell us if we choose to focus our mind energy in a certain pattern and pour our thought energy into it, it shifts our internal energy. And we can generate an angry thought, a confused, a hateful, a grief-filled thought, and we can pour our mind energy into those thoughts until we start to feel the energy of it in our physiology. The next moment, if we choose, we can start pouring our mind energy into neutral thoughts or positive thoughts and experience the benefit in our actual physiology.
The key thing you said, which I get, is feel the shift in the energy system. That's different to me at this point of different from feeling love directly. You can feel a shift. Then something opens up and maybe you're on a track that'll get you to the love thing, but the shift doesn't necessarily mean it's
that you
there.
Instantly move to love, right?
Yeah. That's very, very crucial. You know, I was out walking this morning early, and my daughter always calls early in the morning, and she's the dean of a cathedral in Florida, and she has been an advocate in a very red state, an advocate for gay ordination of gay people and now gay marriage, and she married her first couple. And as a result, she's losing parishioners from the parish. Her own bishop can't stand her and says awful things about her. And the whole bishop process, if you read about it in Florida, it's very contentious. The process wasn't by the book. It was one person was allowed to vote without being there. There were lots of protocols that were avoided or shifted so that they could get a very conservative bishop in on the next round. And she's telling me how she feels as if she's got to put on a kind of armor. One of her favorite older parishioners took her to lunch and spent the whole lunch talking to her about this, that, and the other, and finally at the end of the lunch said to her, "I'm leaving the parish because of your stance on gay marriage. I'm heartbroken, but I can't be part of this parish." And she's heartbroken because he's been a very active, wonderful parishioner for all of the time she's been there. And she said, "Mom, I really don't know how I can handle all this." And I told her about Pierre Prevan right away, and I told her about what happened to him with that boss who fired him. And it isn't in the interview, but in the book it tells about how years or months or years later he ran into that very person who had mistreated him so badly, and all he could find in himself was a delight for seeing this man, which seems like such an incredible testimony. And she said, "Mom, that's very helpful." And I said, "I'll send you the book." And she said, "I think you just told me the book." Well, I didn't. You know, it's great to read the book. But so that talk has been spreading around already, and I'm so glad you put it back in the list of things we should really listen to. It's hard to keep up. We're all kind of on overload with things we should be listening to. But that's a great answer, what you said. You feel a shift. I think I can work with that.
Well, and it's a fabulous thing for Pierre Pradervan's work. It's also something that we noticed and we've seen time and time again in our support groups when people are doing a worksheet and they're very stuck and or they've done a lot of worksheets on an issue, or it's just an issue that they've been so stuck on they haven't been able to do any. And they'll get into the first few steps of the worksheet, and then they'll get some momentum going. And the next thing you know, they've skipped over step four, or they've just read it. You know, I choose love, and that stirs the love in everyone around me, and then they move right on to step five. And I have to interrupt and get them to step back and begin there with a little meditation. Rather than just reading the words, I choose love, which stirs the love in everyone involved, take a breath and let yourself remember what was a time in your recent or distant past where you actually had joy, you had love, you had excitement, you had safety, you had strength, contentment flowing in your energy system, flowing through your heart space. Let yourself remember that time and strengthen those memories. And it's a critical thing, you know, this seven-step worksheet process that's available on the website is it's very deceptive because right here, basically right in the middle of the page, step number four says just this much. I choose love, my essence, which stirs the love in everyone involved. And there's a place for a check mark to say, okay, I take a breath and I recognize that. And then there's parentheses, rose and butterfly story, close parentheses. And that's it.
It is.
You know, it's that one and one E are the only things on this page that are simply one line. And yet, it's the key. Right? It's at the very beginning near the top of the page, it says the premise of this work is that my essential nature, my human life, my very being is love, is this energy of creation. So it starts there. If you look at the six, the five or seven step worksheet process, if you look at it the way you would look at how the way we're treating the way of mastery, to really slow down and think, you know what, this thing's been in development for 35 years. So the words that are on this page have been thought about, agonized over, shifted and changed a little bit here and there. And this represents, you know, what Michael and Jeannie have been dedicating their lives to for anywhere from, you know, 20 to 50 years, depending upon how you mark it. And so even though it's just a simple one line, you know, step number four in the worksheet process, whenever I do this worksheet for myself or with somebody else, I stop at number four and do that meditation. I do the exercise to try and get some positive flow of energy through my heart space, to demonstrate to myself very quickly, very simply, I create my emotions. And when I shift my energy by pouring different mind energy or my mind energy into a different set of thoughts than I started the worksheet with, right there is another in life, in vivo realization. Yep, it's an inside job. So it functions at many levels to just slow down, put my hand over my heart space, and do a little meditation of focusing on a time, whether it was way, way in the past or whether it was something earlier this morning or last week, where I wasn't feeling the mental, emotional, physical upset that prompted me to pick up the worksheet right now. So I can remind myself of that separate energy state that is more alive, that's more vibrant, that's more joyful, that's more flexible, that's more open to learning something new. And I make that shift before I move into step five on the worksheet, and it really opens the floodgates for things to start changing. And that's the kind of thing that can happen with the Pierre Pratervand blessing. You know, I can read the blessings that Pierre Pratervand recommends, some of them that he's written, and I can read them quickly and mechanically and get almost no benefit from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
the quite recently, I sent it, so here it is. So here's this, you know, when you listen to that interview with Pierre Pradervan, here's a gentleman who's got hundreds of blessings that he's written. And we know he's got hundreds because he published a book that has 365 blessings in it.
Mm-hmm.
And those
yeah.
aren't all the blessings he's done. So we know he's got hundreds of blessings he could choose from, and he says, may I read three? Sure, and whatever you want, and it's your interview. And what does he pick? He picks, this is how important these three are. They're the flagship to represent his work as he's promoting this book. He picks one for people who are feeling suicidal because there's an epidemic of it, one for people who've been affected by child soldiering, whether it's the families that have lost their children or children who've been subjected to doing horrific things in war. And what's the third one? A blessing for myself. That's how important this is in his mind. And, you know, he started this off. He says, you know, John O'Donohue said so beautifully, may there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. So here are the words of the blessing that Pierre Pradervan wrote for himself, to bless himself. I bless myself sincerely and joyfully for being the utterly beautiful divine creature I am, one at source with the universe in infinite love. I bless myself as a child of the universe, a child of light in which there is not a speck or residue of darkness or self-condemnation. I bless myself in sinless joy and boundless bliss and blah, 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 blah. You can read it like it's a recipe. And there'll be no impact. But if you slow it down and think, when have I felt like a joyful child? When have I felt appreciation for the source of life flowing through me? If I slow this down and think about sincerely feeling joyful about the gift of life, then I get a shift. I get a shift in my energy system. And that is because he calls it the heart center, right? Truly coming from the heart. That's what I'm referring to when I say your energy system. Your heart center, your ability to generate different ripples of energy that you feel in your physiology. That's, when you tap into that, and you write your own blessing, or you read someone like Pierre Pradervan who writes a blessing, and you slow it down. You don't have to take an hour to do it. But, you know, if you read a blessing like his and you read it the way I was just reading it, you can be done in, you know, less than a minute. And if you slow down and read it slowly and carefully, you could take a minute and a half or 2 minutes and get a tremendous shift in your feeling. And when you shift in your feeling state, you're shifting the flow of healing energy through your mind-body energy system. And it will have positive effects. It's like what Dr. Rice talks about. These are just fundamental laws of how the world works.
Right?
It's not like, maybe I will, maybe. It's like, if I step off this cliff, gravity's going to have its impact on me. If I slow these tools down and work at creating an energetic shift before I move on, I will get a benefit. And I think, you know, I think instantly about people like your daughter having a meal like that with somebody who basically is trying to hold her hostage.
Interesting way of putting it, yeah.
Right, and I think of, you know, the general rule to not negotiate with terrorists because it's a never-ending slippery slope. So can I, if somebody comes to me and says that, can I bless them on their way? Can I send them loving thoughts? I certainly hope this person finds a church that can help them stay in touch with their true nature and bring them joy and aliveness and vitality. And the fact that the church I'm running or participating in isn't doing it for them, it's no condemnation of me or the other person.
Right. It's so interesting that you said holding her hostage. I'm not quite sure in that case what you mean, because I think he was so anguished to tell her he was leaving that he just didn't do it until he, at the end of the lunch. Are you saying?
Yes, I'm not saying anything about him.
Yeah,
I'm telling
okay.
you what got resonated in my mind when you told the story.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with, oh, I have some great insight about your daughter and the person she was with. I didn't even know if it was male or female. I'm not telling you anything about him. I'm just sharing with you what got resonated for me. And because most people who go into, I don't say most, but many people who go into something like the priesthood or any kind of spiritual teaching, they tend to want to please people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I think I'm doing this for my benefit and for the benefit of all these people. And so you might want to say, oh, my gosh, what can I do? You know, how can I change things so you'll stay? And, oh, it's – and that's a trap.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, and she's really firm, thank goodness, on this.
It's possible to be firm in that. This is what the point I was trying to make is: it's possible to be firm in that, and then feel like they're trying to manipulate me, or they're trying to pressure me, or I'm angry at them for leaving because they don't align with my thoughts. But it's also possible to do the Pierre Pratervand blessing, bless them on their path, in their wholeness, in their ability to be patient and loving and respectful, whatever their beliefs are, bless them in their ability to be joyful in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I can tell her what you said, but I do know that she did not in any way try to hold him. And she says it's actually a giant migration that's going on. She says, we have gotten many new members because of my stance on this issue, but we've lost some too. And I just have to watch this happen and allow it to happen and be okay with it. But she said she was exhausted at the end of the day, went to bed about 7 o'clock, and just to get away from the world and lick her wounds. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I can absolutely understand that. It's a tremendous energy drain to hold, to hold the space of love for people when they are not feeling loving to themselves, et cetera. To your belief system and follow what is what's useful to you. It can be quite the challenge, especially the way we've been conditioned to believe that we're supposed to have the approval of others.
Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Tim. I know you have your reading to do and everything, but I wanted to give that report that even before I'm applying it myself, I'm handing it around. Say, do this! And she loved it, so thanks.
Well, you're entirely welcome and deserving, and it's questions and this banter back and forth between us that benefits us all. I don't know if you heard me. I think yesterday I talked about how the entire session on Tuesday when you called with questions, the entire show was you and I talking back and forth about these things. And as I listened back to that show, I thought, wow, this could be a highlight show. And then I thought, no, if you say every show is a highlight show, right, then they lose their effectiveness, or there's it's too many to go through.
No, but it triggered something that you wanted to say, which you said a lot in the next show. That was good.
That was something that I had ready to say before your questions. There was something going on in my life that I still haven't figured out that had me going into Tuesday's show thinking, I may not read anything today, but I definitely have to talk about not putting people on a pedestal, not making the teacher important in my life, but making sure that the teaching is my focus. And and so we did very little of that talk on that on Tuesday, but what did come out through your comments and questions, as I listened to the flow of the conversation between us, I thought, oh, this is good. This is really good stuff. This could be a show by itself. And I don't remember what exactly the topic was now. I just remember that when I listened back to the show, probably yesterday morning, I had the urge to turn it into a highlight show. And then I thought, well, let's hold off. You know, I'll listen to it again. Well, it may end up in the highlight show. But if it is, I just want to make sure that it's, you know. But they're the basic core principles that we are talking about in all of this work that were coming out in a slightly different way in that conversation on Tuesday.
Yep. Giving away your power, not realizing you are connected with Source. You have everything you need. That is so good. And I have totally interwoven the guru-worshipping complex with loving someone. There's a whole weird thing going on. So that Wednesday show, I was thinking, okay, you know, ever since I was small, it started with mothers. I was making all of my young women teachers into mothers. And there was incredible worship going on there, idealizing, giving total power to them to either let me know I'm okay or reaffirm that I'm not okay. But it was definitely a loss of center and source connection. So it's totally important what you were saying on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's been, I think back in my career, as you were just talking about the different times where I have, from high school through college, through all the grad school professors, the different people I've put on a pedestal and how counterproductive it has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's often quite painful. Or it's like unrequited love. Something very, very sort of off about it, and yet powerful. It's energy. It's terrific energy, but it needs to be understood and channeled.
Well, and, you know, it's just listening to some of the greatest teachers when they say, wait a minute, why do you call me good?
Yeah.
The only thing that's good is creation itself, God, light, love, whatever word you want to use for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then phrases from Yeshua, like, you know, that was one from Yeshua apparently, and another one from Yeshua is, if I come in my own name, I'm a false prophet. This isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the I within me doing this. This is the energy that's giving my physical form its substance to manifest in the physical, and that's the same energy that's giving you and your physical form the energy to, right? I don't know how my food is digesting, and you don't know how your food is digesting, and yet here we are. There's something else living us, breathing us, seeing through us. There's something else that connects all of us. It is bigger than us, and yet it is us.
You just recreated or said in a totally other way that blessing you said of Pratervans about, what was the word, loving himself or honoring himself, or what did he call it? The third of the three blessings that he chose out of the whole pile.
A blessing for myself.
Yeah, just a blessing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Here it is. This Pierre has this in the intro to his book. Above all, bless the utterly beautiful child of God you are. So today, we're going to bless ourselves, for it is very difficult to really love and bless others from your heart if you do not start with having that loving energy within yourself. As the great Irish poet John O'Donohue said so beautifully, quote, may there be kindness in your gaze when you look within, close quote.
Mm.
So the blessing that Pierre offers for myself is, I bless myself sincerely and joyfully for being the utterly beautiful divine creature I am, at one with the source of infinite love.
Mm.
I bless myself as a child of the universe, a child of the light in which there is not a speck or residue of darkness or self-condemnation. I bless myself in sinless joy, boundless bliss, and total contentment, my ageless, tireless being. I bless myself as divine mind's expression of constant wisdom, of enlightenment, of discernment, and understanding. I bless myself as spirit's manifestation of glorious liberty, total freedom, and unlimited innocence. And this is true of all humanity.
Mm.
I bless myself in my perfect oneness with the ground of being, the unconditional cosmic love force called the Creator, which sustains every cell and atom of my being in perfect health. I bless myself as my sister's and my brother's keeper, overflowing with compassion, a font of unending tenderness for every suffering heart. And finally, I bless myself in my constant enjoyment of the green pastures of the kingdom within, which I share with all humanity.
Mm.
So that's the one of the blessings for self that he suggests, and you might use to great effect if you so choose to. Thoughts, comments?
Well, remember that I called you 2 days ago to talk about these extraterrestrials and all that stuff. And the advice you gave me was very good. I didn't write with my left hand, but I did do a lot of writing. And it was a picture of utter disaster. The key thing is usually something that's said and you don't even know. That's why looking to the guru and admiring a guru and stuff is wrong, because I don't even think you know what you say some of the times. It pops out from some source. But now I've lost the thought of what you said. Oh, you said those ETs, if they've been there, if they're there now, they've been there all of the time. You weren't thinking about it. They've been there for years. And that was like a little lock spring. Boom, all of a sudden a little door opened and some of the pressure came off. And I thought, oh, good, I've been okay this far. So maybe we're not about to be done in, you know. And then in my own support group that we run on Wednesdays right up until when we come on the radio show, I mentioned the radio show that you and I had talked on the day before and about the ETs. And Ellen, who you remember, used to call into the show a ton when you were doing the Course in Miracles.
Yes.
She said, oh, my gosh, I just found a text from this guy named Daniel Scranton on the Internet, and he writes about the Arcturian Council, more ETs, in other words. And she said, I want to read it. And it's quite wonderful, and it's applicable. What they're basically saying is what Pierre is saying. You are it. You are it. What are you so worked up about? You've got this. You guys have always had it. So anyway, I could read it or I don't have to. I mean, I know your show, you're doing The Way of Mastery and you've got listeners and this may be a tangent. I could send it to you to read if you want and you could just see what you think. But
okay, so what you're saying is this thing is, you think it's in line with what The Way of Mastery is saying?
In part, and I only read it. She told it to me over. She read it to us on at our meeting, and then I just printed it out, and I haven't even looked at it. I've got it right in front of me. So it may not be, you know, and I know you want to keep it. So let me look it over.
And or just send it to me, and I'll take a look at it. You know, as I say, if it's in line with what we're already doing, I'll be happy to look at it, even if it's slightly different, from a slightly different perspective, it's probably going to be advantageous.
Yeah. Well, the last paragraph, I'll read that because I know that's okay. Don't fall into the trap of seeing yourselves as small, insignificant, and destined to have certain experiences. The world is what you make of by the highest of standards if you allow them to be so, and you are becoming your higher selves, your fifth dimensional selves. Okay, there we're going off the track a little bit. No matter what anyone else is, no matter how it sometimes appears, choose the best timeline for yourself right now by being conscious about the fact that you are choosing and that the timeline will feel best and that the timeline that will feel best for you does exist. We are the Arcturian Council, and we have enjoyed connecting with you. I mean, they use words that send me off a little bit, but like fifth dimension. And they insist that they are from the ninth dimension. And, of course, my immediate feel lousy, I'm no good response is, nine, you're way ahead of me. I'll never get there, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, it's just things are connecting up in very funny ways. I know. What are you going to say to that?
The point is, there you go again with I'll never catch up, right? And so
yeah,
let's relax and just understand that that's my ego.
Right. Definitely.
My ego is either going to think I'm better than somebody or I'm worse than somebody. It's going to take me out of the flow of life in the moment, and it's not useful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe I'll just send this to you and you can put it right in the trash or look it over.
I had a hand up here. I'm going to turn on the microphone for area code 4541. Is this Celinda?
Yes, it is.
Didn't you have your hand up at an earlier time?
Yes, I did, but then I didn't want to interfere with your and Susan's conversation in case I learned something I needed to learn or wanted to learn. which I can't learn if I'm talking much. So I
well, it seems like we're at a good pausing point. So what were you going to offer?
What I was going to offer is I am total in agreement about the Tuesday show being a change maker, because it's refining for me. When you, Susan, and you, Tim, get together, it's always a delight. It's always a delight. And I just, and Susan, I feel like another pea in the same pod with you, so there we go. And I just wanted to say that today's show and Tuesday's show has been such a help in relation to my understanding the way of mastery. And the paradox is, at the same time as I seem to be getting a better hold or grasp on who I am and what I am to be about, if I want to be in heaven on earth, then something comes up and my ego jumps in with all 4 feet, and there we go, off we go again. So I end up making amends, and I just, the worksheets, I've always struggled with the worksheets very, very much, but just by listening and listening and listening to what you all are saying and the questions that others have and the struggles we go through, which we are the ones creating the struggles for ourselves, it's very helpful. I just thank you very much.
Well, you're quite welcome and deserving. I had actually forgotten about the conversation about the extraterrestrials. And, you know, so the subject, right, the jumping off point for the conversation wasn't the critical point. It's like, am I afraid of donuts? You know, am I terrified of spiders? It doesn't matter what I choose as a focus for my terror or an excuse for my hatred or whatever.
Right.
It's the internal process that I'm engaging in that, fortunately, teachings like the Way of Mastery and the Course in Miracles let us know we have choice in. We can actually choose, and we can choose differently if we don't like the results. And I just flashed on, there was an Abraham Hicks event where somebody came up to sit in the hot chair and ask a question. And we were together as a group of people. There's a group of people that attend the Mind Shifter support group on Tuesdays years ago, and we used to gather for watching a Saturday live presentation of Abraham Hicks. So these are people who study the Way of Mastery and Michael Rice's work and the Course in Miracles and follow Abraham and do all that good stuff. And we're sitting there on this one Saturday morning, and somebody gets into the hot seat and says, I want to know if unicorns are real. So here's a situation where we're trying to talk about deep spirituality, and we're trying to have some decorum and, you know, be realistic and provide practical tools for people. And so here's somebody who wants to know about unicorns. And there might have been something else, mermaids and unicorns or something like that. And I just cringed at the thought of it. Right? I just like, oh my gosh, they're going off the rails here. And yet, in listening to the Abraham response, it was powerful. It was beautiful. It was a flowing weaving of all of the principles, and I was amazed. And the essence of it is, it doesn't really matter. Abraham is not making any pronouncements about, yes, unicorns are real, and yes, mermaids are real, and yes, there is the ninth dimension and the seventh dimension, etc. Abraham doesn't have to make any proclamations about those things and can still use the fundamental dynamics of how our mind-body-energy system works and how we have the flexibility of choice.
Sure. Hmm? Sure.
Okay. So anyway, I got distracted there because I could hear someone else talking in the background, but that's what I thought about when you reminded me just now that the Tuesday conversation had the words about extraterrestrials in it. The essence of why that struck me as maybe a good highlight show has nothing to do with the triggering event or this identification of fear about this or that. It's just fear and how I generate fear. It's past traumas and how I hold that energy. It's what I do with my mind energy today that either keeps me imprisoned or liberates me. It's the
right
fundamental process of these tools. So, that's what I know. Comments, questions, answers, testimonials?
Is Susan, Linda
still
you're there?
Still on?
Yeah.
Celinda?
Yes, I'm still
Hello.
Here. Yes, I am here. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes, I took myself off the queue, but I forgot to mute myself, so I apologize for that. I just wanted to say that Fenelon's alligators are alive and well, and I must remember his admonition to not be discouraged, so that's helpful. And thank you for that comment as I do more worksheets, and if I feel I need some help, I will call in about it, because this is a big one for me. It's touching into my anxiety for safety and security, so yeah, it's also trust.
Well, let us
so
know if there's something we can do to support you in dismantling the anxiety and insecurity.
Celinda, is it the ETs that are triggering, or what's triggering?
Oh, no. I just live and let live. If there are ETs, that's fine, and if there aren't, that's fine. They don't affect my life today because no one, as far as I know, has shown up on my doorstep, so I'll leave that.
Good work, Celinda.
If they
you're
show
way
up,
ahead of me.
Yeah, if they show up, I might be doing lots of worksheets. But anyway, the basic distrust of life support, and safety and security are my probably that, which is overlaid, of course, on the need to be right and the need to be supported in one's rightness. Yeah, those are, I keep coming back to all of those. Yeah. They're big ones, and I'm sure it's just the peeling of the onion. You know, I think, oh, boy, I'm like you've mentioned, Tim, or anyone happens to mention, I think I've got this covered, only to find out it totally unwound itself and it's out in the open again. So it's just one of those processes of growth.
Well, I actually use that thought when it comes up. I learned probably 15 years ago or so now to, if I have the thought, oh, I've got that issue handled, I use that thought to start doing more worksheets on that issue.
Yeah.
I realize in that moment, that's my conscious mind trying to hide something from me.
Right. Maybe it's also an outflow of the increased life energy we get because we peeled another layer. So now, you know, that also maybe.
So yeah, but if I have a thought about how I'm done with an issue, I now can use it as a warning that, oh, Tim, this issue itself is bubbling up. And
right.
Your mind wants to tell you you're done with it, but, you know, if you didn't have any of this issue left to work on, you wouldn't even be thinking about it, much less
Very
be thinking, oh, I'm all done with it. You know, it's like
right.
Michael says, you know, if you're talking and you want to use regulatory speech for its revelatory qualities, you watch your words and they will tell you what you're thinking about. Oh, I'm not angry. Well, if I'm not angry, why does the word anger come out of my mouth? If anger isn't somewhere bubbling up in my consciousness, I would say I'm just so relaxed. I just feel so at peace. Right? It's like if I want to tell you that I'm going on a trip to Germany, I don't tell you, well, you know, I'm not going to Japan or New Zealand or Iceland. I'm not going to California. Listen to all the places I would have to list. I just say I'm going to Germany. So if
right.
I talk directly about what I'm feeling, or if I realize that whatever I say will be about what I'm feeling, even if my conscious mind wants to put words like not and don't and won't and I'm, you know, and no, I have no anger in me. Okay, that's a pretty silly statement. Because the energy of that emotion of anger has to be resonating for me to use that word. And if I watch my words, it will let me know what's really going on in the unconscious or preconscious or subconscious parts of my mind. And then if I choose to, I can use that for my benefit. I can choose to apply tools to dismantle it or explore it, uncover it more. So, closing thoughts or comments from either you, Susan, or Celinda?
No, this is great. The big takeaway is the word shift. That seems like a... Not,
I love
I've got to feel this burning love in my heart or I'm a failure sort of thing. The shift is doable.
Both of us have perfection as a constant that needs to be softened up and breathed away. Or it doesn't have to be. It could be if we chose it.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, I will mute both of you. Thank you so much for the comments and questions. So you can listen in for the second hour, and I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate that. So.
You're most welcome and deserving. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio, and welcome to December. Today is December the 1st, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael a moment to dial in, and I will just tell everybody that there are some new things on the website. If you go to whyagain.org, and you can click on the apps, you can click on Start Here, you can click on the news, you can click on multimedia, watch and listen free, and I'm getting ready to put it under events. So there's lots of different places where you can find it. What we did was we created a video of how to maneuver, navigate around the website and find everything. And that's a little over an hour long. And, of course, we didn't hit every page on the website, but we hit all of the main things on the front page when you first go in. So if you'll go to that, you can watch the video of me explaining the website. Then we also did a video of explaining the app and what all's on it and how to navigate around it. So both of those videos are now online. They're in several different places. If you can't find them, just go up to the search bar and type in instruction or app or website or whatever, and it'll pop up. And so that's out there to help you to find things on the website and the app. So hope that you enjoy those. And I will welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. And, Jean, the work you did on those yesterday is awesome. I did not understand the app as thoroughly as I now understand it after watching that video with you last night. So thank you for making that. And it actually impresses me with a whole different level of how functional the app is, of everything that that you built into it. I did not fully realize what all you had put in there. So it's pretty awesome. And now anybody can just go to whyagain.org, click start here, and there it is. You can go through the whole app and another video with the whole website. So awesome work, sweetie. That's really fabulous. And if Yinka happens to be on, thank you for the inspiration to do the website work. And Yinka, we appreciate what you're doing and over there and over the pond in bringing these tools to more and more people. We had a really great session about a week and a half ago. The session was actually for the book study club, supposed to happen on Thanksgiving Day. However, with it being Thanksgiving here, and it happened to coincide within a half an hour of our family dinner time, we decided not to do it Thursday, so we did it on Friday. And I don't know if you might have shared this already, Janie, but the link is out there for that Zoom video from the book study club. And because it was on an off day, other than what was planned, and it was kind of a last-minute realization and announcement, it was a smaller group. So we actually didn't do the full study process that we normally do. We've been covering three chapters of the book each session that we've done. But instead, we did a conversation, and several people who had been engaged in the work, you know, the people who've been faithful to the book club, who really had the questions, who've been doing the work, are the ones that were there. So we had a really good conversation with question and answers on the whole process of forgiveness. So check that link out. If you go to events, you'll see the link for the Hear My Voice book club. You can also go to our YouTube channel. You'll actually find all three videos, the guide video for the website, how to use it, and what you'll find where, which is awesome and makes the website so much easier. The guide video for the app, how to go through. Jeannie went through one of the two worksheets and through the children's game in that app. So you'll find that on our YouTube channel. And you'll find all of the study groups from Hear My Voice Book Club on our YouTube channel. So you can start right from day one, and we are systematically going through the book. I think we're up to chapter 15 or 16 we've completed. And then the second Thursday of the month, which will be the 8th, we will go into the next three chapters of the book. And we've discussed when we finish the whole book that maybe we'll go back and start doing chapter by chapter with a more in-depth look at the principles of why is this happening to me again. I'm actually in – let's see how I approach this thought. It amazes me how – resistance steps in when people hear this and go, wow, I got it. And I'll offer that the bottom line result of this work and the tools, you will not find anywhere else on the planet. And that's not because of me. That's because I had the blessing of getting to discover the first century Aramaic language of this man, Yeshua, from 2,000 years ago, and understand in his context what he was saying and be able to bring that context into our modern world. And I bring that to mind because the resistance that people have, and quite literally, the years that they waste amaze me. I have a private chat going with someone on Facebook today, a man who attended one of my presentations in Palm Beach about 37 or 38 years ago. He was an established lawyer in Palm Beach. And after that presentation, he came to me and he said, Michael, I realize that I have work to do and that lawyering is not what I'm here for. And I was speaking at Unity of the Palm Beaches. And as a result of that, he quit his law practice and went to school at Unity Village and became a Unity minister. But while that inspired him, as far as I can tell, he never put the pen to the paper. It was probably, let's see, Jeannie, what year was it we were in Coeur d'Alene? That's probably 15 years ago now?
Probably.
So that's 22 years after this conversation with this man who quit being a lawyer and became a Unity minister. We end up arranged by someone else speaking at his church. We're doing a series of workshops, and he attends. And the midweek workshop that we did was codependence to interdependence. And in the middle of the presentation on the power person dynamic and the behaviors attached to the power person, the shock in his mind was so strong that he involuntarily shouted out an expletive, which I won't repeat, in front of the whole congregation as its minister. But as far as I can tell, and this is 22 years later, he didn't pick up the pen and do the worksheets. About 10 years ago, he contacted me. He saw a post of mine somewhere and contacted me about forgiveness and wanted to know about doing it. He was experiencing great deals of back pain. They've been going on for years. And I sent him an article, and he wrote back and said, Michael, this is just too long. This is too much to do. And as far as I can tell, he never put the pen to the worksheet. And about, and I shared this on the radio show, it's probably about a year ago now, laying in his bed in excruciating pain from back pain. I had given him a link to the video of John Sarno, Dr. John Sarno, the back surgeon who tells us that back pain is unconscious rage, and that's what needs to be resolved. And he bought, you know, it's a $5 or $6 video. And I said, here, spend this, watch this. And I have seen several people who, watching Sarno's video, have opened up and seen where their back pain was. Some have healed it and some weren't, haven't. In the middle of watching that video of Sarno's, he texted me and I shared, you know, I don't have the text in front of me, but I was reading it that day. He had just texted me the day I shared it on the radio show. And it was actually the same expletive as he had expressed, you know, 20 years ago in Coeur d'Alene. My back pain is my own rage. And now that I know that, my back pain is gone. And this is a man who I mean, he's flat on his back. He's been on his back off and on for years. But as far as I can tell, still didn't put the pen to the paper and do the worksheets. Some of you have probably gotten our newsletter with the article on forgiveness, on healing, the healing, which is a compendium of a number of things that I've put together. And I had sent that to him. And on November 27th at 10:34 a.m., he did a private message to me and said, I started to read your essay this morning, Michael, and may offer suggestions. Someone once gave me that made a huge difference. Got from a journalist, less is more. A 2,500-word Facebook post will not get read by many people, as many people as 150-word. And then advice at using headlines to hook people. I thanked him for that feedback. And then I sent him a text saying, did you make it through the article? Did you listen to the links? No, way too long to read, at this time at least. Like I said, less is more. And so here's why I wrote back to him, and I haven't heard back. This was just a few minutes ago that I wrote this back to him, and he hasn't responded. And as I say in the text he sent me, he discovered his back pain, that Dr. Sarno was pain was his unconscious rage. And basically what Sarno was telling us, what as a medical researcher at a university research center, what he came up with as a back surgeon, he stopped using surgery. And he would tell people that their back pain was their unconscious rage. And that what would happen is people would injure themselves. People with rage would injure themselves. The injury would heal, but then the mind would have an excuse to put the injury in, or the rage in the part of the body that the injury had occurred. And then one could pretend and continue to pretend that it was a physical problem, thereby never facing what it is that they needed to face. Well, he did discover that day that it wasn't a physical problem. He got very clear on it. And so when he shared with me that it was way too long, here's my response. I'm just going to read it. The culture has brainwashed us to want instant gratification, which leads us to demand instant satisfaction. Now remember, this is being written to a man who I've been interacting with around the forgiveness process for 37 or 38 years. I will do some editing and follow your advice on the headings and such, but isn't it interesting that we want, in 5 minutes or less, the answer to years and years, generations and generations of pain and trauma, the answer for which millions of brilliant minds have spent tens of thousands of years chasing and not finding? Offering. The most popular drug of the culture is, I'm too busy. Dear friend, what needs to be dealt with within each of us? 1,000 generations of unresolved energetic patterns were born and bred in us, and no one wants to look there and deal with them. 50 years of my life have been dedicated to unraveling the solution and the work required. I understand, but the answers and the work that must be done to resolve is there when you have the time. And I included a couple more links for him. I followed that up with, P.S. If that brings up your piss part, hooray, that, dear friend, is the first forgiveness assignment that will, when healed, get you to the root of what you really need to work on and have, as most do, set up a whole lifetime to avoid. And it's amazing, and, you know, this isn't the only story I could tell of people that I've danced with for decades, and other people who came, who saw, who put the pen to the paper, and live in, relative to where they were when they first touched this work, are progressively moving into deeper and deeper states of bliss and joy and aliveness. because that's what we're designed for. And if we're not doing that, it's because we've caught the brainwash. We've bought into the fact that disease is necessary. It's a product of aging. It's just something's wrong with my body. Well, excuse me, folks. Let's start with one of the most basic principles of this work. Let's listen to Einstein. Now, maybe you know better than Einstein, so you can blow this off, but let's really hear him for a moment. Quote, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so low as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. You do not have a material problem in your body. You do not have a body. Your brain hallucinates an image of what's called the body. Your hands clap together, and you come to the conclusion because they don't pass through each other, they certainly must be solid. But that, too, is a lie because we know if I take a radio wave, it'll pass through my hand with no problem whatsoever. What appears solid isn't solid. It is an accumulation of generations and generations and generations of energetic patterns. And each of those energies, you know, if we go to the opening words in the book of John, what it says is, not in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh, but in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. And when we engage in a piece of mind energy that does not support the wholeness and the well-being of this system, some part of the system says, ouch. When that energy is placed into that area of the energy system. And what most everybody does with that mind energy, with that toxic energy that doesn't belong in the structure, is they make up a story of blame about how it's all somebody else's fault. And their brain shows them a set of pictures about how, see, it is somebody else's fault. Because we literally take those compressed, coiled energies within ourselves that have been going on and being reinforced for generations and generations. And when they are resonated by an event in the world, the hurt increases in what appears to be tissue, and the brain shows us a picture of that toxic energy, only it shows us that toxic energy massaged into what we think is an image of them, and they show up in our mind with our problem attached, and we're sure it must be their problem, called denial, dissociation and projection. And there's only one place on planet Earth that I know of that anybody in all of history has understood how to collapse those projections, pardon me, those pictures in the mind, and deliver our awareness right square into the dissociated content that is the only cause of pain that there is in your energy system or mine or anybody else's. There is no physical cause of pain. You say, oh, but I stubbed my toe on a chair. Well, I use that example because I've had problems with my feet, and I've stubbed my toes many times and howled in pain over it. But what I realize is when a part of my structure gets in the way and becomes injured or has an accident, it's because of the unconsciousness that I've impinged on that part of my structure by denying and dissociating from the very content of that tissue. And so I don't get to hear its feedback. And now it gets in the way. And that's all my responsibility. That's my work. Now, we're all inheritors of what appear to be bodies that have a whole series of maladies, rages and fears and pains and blames and traumas and diseases and tissue abnormalities. We're all inheritors of that. To my friend who 37 years ago said, I'm going to stop lawyering and I'm going to work with this, but never put the pen to the paper, I say, there is one man who came up with the solution to this problem. And there is no other solution on planet Earth that I know of. I mean, you can talk till the cows come home. You can study forever. But until you go in and uncoil that compressed mind energy that is toxic. Remember, in the beginning it was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. If your flesh is toxic, it's because your mind is toxic. And what forgiveness, what first century Aramaic forgiveness does is it empowers you to go into the very hidden part of your own mind, which looks like your body, come back into direct relationship with what it is that you're in denial of and you didn't want to deal with, that maybe your father or your mother didn't want to, and your grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and grandparents before them never wanted to deal with, until you come back to the core of the compressed energy that ends up being this disease. You know, my last memory of my grandmother was going to see her in the hospital. And they had hacked away at her because of foot problems. And my mother had foot problems, and I've had my share. And I, you know, at first thought it was some sort of physical thing. But as I understand deeper and deeper, I realize it is no physical thing because there is no physical. Now, I've known that for decades, but applying it is another thing. What is the energy pattern that my grandmother was dealing with, that she had diabetes, and they started off by hacking off her toes, and then they hacked off the front of each of her feet different times. So her feet were gone, and then her ankles. And by the time she died, they had hacked her up to her knees. My mother had such horribly disfigured feet that it was just, and she, I bless her, she never complained. I have some idea because of what my feet have been through, what she had gone through. My feet aren't disfigured like hers, but hers were just horrifically twisted and, you know, just unreal. Never heard a word from her, though. Never heard a complaint from her. But I have some idea of what it took for her to walk and to live with those feet. And I'm still at the other end of that, unraveling those energy patterns in myself. Remember, when denial becomes an expert habit, and to tell whether or not your family system has an expert habit of denial, just listen to the conversations your parents had about blame and who they blamed and who they whined about and who they complained about. Was it each other? Was it the guy down the block? Who was it? A human being cannot complain about another human being. A human being, when they interact with another that brings up such pain and trauma in them that they're inclined to complain about them, stops, moves inside, deals with the root of their pain, removes, forgives the root of their pain, and stands in compassion for that person that they would otherwise whine and complain about. But if your family system, like mine, like virtually everybody, has been expert at denial, remember, our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something moving inside of me. I'm in denial. And when I go into denial, I take that piece of mind energy that I don't want to look at, and I compress it down so I will not have to look at it. And I dissociate from it. I take it out of awareness and bring it to a level where I will not ever see it again until I forgive. And it turns into tissue. Literally, it becomes the chemistry that makes up what we call our cells. If you check with a cell biologist, when you think a thought, remember, it's all mind energy. When you think a thought, that thought becomes a neuropeptide, a literal molecule within your structure. And that molecule, called a neuropeptide, circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. It lands on the receptor site on the cell, the antenna, literally the antenna on the cell. And if you were watching inside the cell when that neuropeptide landed on that antenna on the cell, it's literally been identified as an antenna, and watch that thought that neuropeptide insert itself in the cell, you'd be looking at what you call chemistry in the cell. Now a chemical anomaly produces disease in a cell or a group of cells or an organ. There is no physical disease because there is no physical. Our eye generates a picture that makes energy appear to be solid, but once again, I remind you, an X-ray passes through your hand. Your hand is not solid. And the physicists are still trying to figure it out. Yeshua is sitting on the top of that mountain waiting for the physicists to show up because he figured it. He understood it 2,000 years ago, and he gave us the tools with which to change the game. And the tool is called forgiveness. The tool requires you put the pen to the paper. It's going to be interesting to see if this latest round of interaction after 37 or 38 years, this gentleman responds and says, you know, I think I'll start to do worksheets every day. I've been telling him that for 38 years. The most common response is, well, I'm just too busy. Well, the upshot with this particular gentleman is that because of the disease processes going on within him, he was asked to leave his church. He left and is now retired, but even in retirement is, as he informed me just in the writing I read to you earlier, too busy to go through the solution and apply it. So I hope that inspires somebody who listens to this today or maybe listens to it in archives at some point in the future to say, maybe I'll let go of the drug of busyness, and maybe I'll actually make time for what I say is important, and that's my healing process. You know, it's interesting how many people, you know, it's said that John D. Rockefeller had such traumatic digestive issues that he at one point said that he would give away half of his fortune just to be able to go into a restaurant one more time and enjoy eating a meal. People are too busy making money, looking to the outer world, and they miss the shine, the light, the presence of love within themselves. And in being so busy in the outer world with accomplishment, literally sell their health for money and then end up spending all of their money trying to regain their health when it's too late. There is no disease in your body, the appearance that you call your body, that is not a disease in your mind. There is no disease in your mind that is not a disease in the appearance called your body. They are inseparable. Where there is disease or pained perception, there is disease on what we call a cellular tissue level. When there is disease on what we call a cellular tissue level, it is because there is disease in the mind. The world has separated those two things like they're two different things, but they are not any more than when I look at a coin, there's the head of the coin and there's the tail of the coin. But there's no way I can take the head off and leave just the tail of the coin. There's no way I can take the tail off and just leave the head of the coin because they're inseparable. They are one singular event, as is this so-called body-mind nervous system. Yes, I look at one side of the coin and they see what we call a head. Yes, I look at the other side of the coin and they see what we call a tail. But the truth is there's no head, no tail. There's just a coin. And they're names we give to different perspectives of the one event. Mind and body are one singular event. Mind is a name we give to one aspect of the event. Body is a name we give to the other aspect. But they are one singular event. And all disease is introduced through the mind, because that's the governing energy. Mind is the builder. Mind is the destroyer. If you do not forgive from your mind, those energetic dynamics with which your ancestors have killed themselves, and, you know, I'm talking about all of us, you know, who among us has got an ancestor that's over 120 years of age and still living? There's not one of us. Why is that? Because the coiled, compressed frequencies of death are structured within each and every one of us. And until we take responsibility and try as you may on a physical level, you cannot resolve disease. You can support and assist by doing things on what we call the physical level to change the disease appearances in our structure. But you can't change the actual cause of the disease without a change of mind. And that mind has been going on and killing generations and generations and generations of each of our ancestors forever. Death is programmed into your energetic system at conception. The only choice is, will you take the time to undo it? Or you get too busy and find that other things are more important. This makes sense in overcoming resistance to engaging in the work. And then there's a learning process. You know, when you recognize that millions of brilliant minds over tens of thousands of years have tried to figure this out and come up with solutions, don't expect to get the answer in 5 minutes for $5, because you're not going to get it. You're welcome to hang out here. Our website, use these tools. You're welcome to have it for free. We're here to provide it. It doesn't matter what your financial situation is or whether we ever see a penny from you. If it's supporting you, if this is bringing your life forward, if it's really working for you, then we invite you to consider supporting us, because this doesn't all happen for nothing. You know, Jeannie just did two more major projects to bring the tools closer to and easier to put into people's hands. And it doesn't happen for nothing. The last 50 years of this has not happened for nothing. If someone handed us $1 million tomorrow, we could easily put that $1 million to work and take the delivery system for this work to a whole other level. That's not what we have, but everything we do have goes toward how do we create the next tool, the next mechanism with which we can deliver this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And if you're one of those who have received it and have benefited from it, and you're in a position to, and you want to, then we invite you to consider supporting us. And the fact that we haven't opened Heartland since 2019, and we haven't been on the road since about the same time, actually 2018, I guess, is when we stopped traveling to take care of Jeannie's dad and Ari Rain. That has definitely put a dent in cash flow. If this is benefiting you, I invite you to consider supporting us. Actually, we're probably going to set up a fundraising. I haven't shared this with you, Jeannie, but I just got a note from Julie saying that it looks like the roof for that building at Heartland is probably going to be about $3,500. And another tax bill is about the same for the end of the year, $3,500. So in any event, if any of that supports you, if it's been supporting you and you're in a position to support us, please arrange to do so. And beyond that, all the resources we've got are yours. Please take them, use them. You know, if you're ready to take your work to the next level, the Codependent Self-Study Intensive is available. purchasing it will move you to a whole other level in your process. We've got 90 hours of very specific teaching and processing and question and answer video as part of a self-study course. And of course, if you purchase that, that will assist us in carrying things forward. And beyond that, if there's anything we do to support you, if you have a question, our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly on your phone. And then if you have a question, you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel, and we'll get to have a conversation. And what we'd like to do more than anything is have a conversation with you. So if you're out there in listener land, I'm complete with my thoughts for the day. And so I'd love to entertain questions and answers. Or Ms. Jeannie, do you have anything else to add? Do we have any questions from the app or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's all quiet out here. And I just went out to look at all of my emails to see if I had gotten any questions. And we've answered all of them that have come in. For those of you who have just joined us that weren't on at the beginning of the show, you may not have heard that yesterday we created 2 videos. One of them helps you to navigate through the website, and the other one helps you to navigate the app. And the one for the website is about an hour long, and the one for the app is about 26 minutes. And so they take you step by step where to find things and how to click and where that'll take you. And so those are out on our website. If you click the Start Here button, you're going to find them there. If you click on Schedules, you'll find it there. If you go down to Events, you'll find it. If you go to News, you'll find it. Under Multimedia, Watch and Listen for free, under More. So I put it
YouTube
in
channel.
A whole bunch of places. It's out on YouTube.
That's awesome.
You know, you will be able to find instructions, a video instruction of how to go through the website and how to go through the app and the easiest way to find things. So that is out there. So hopefully you'll check that out.
I learned more by watching that yesterday than I knew about the app. So thank you for that. And I think anyone who is using the app or wants to should really watch that video. And if you've got the app on your phone, if you go to, you know, the opening page of it, there's a link that says More. If you click on the More button, it's the first video in that link. So it'll walk you through all the possibilities of the app. So, and Jeannie actually steps through and does a sample worksheet on the app. So it's really fabulous.
And if I had done a second take on it, which I didn't, it was just like spur of the moment. Yinka actually kind of pushed
inspired.
What word would you use, Michael? Inspired us to do the one on the website. Yeah. So
it was a great idea.
She did the Zoom meeting and recorded it, and we did that. And so she was talking to me, but then after I hung up from the Zoom meeting with her, then I thought, okay, let me see if I can hook my phone up to the computer so that it shows up on the screen so that I can do a Zoom meeting and share the screen so people can see me actually working on my phone. And I was able to do that. So then as I was going through it, it was just off the cuff, and so it's like I was doing the examples of the worksheets. So throughout doing that example, a lot of times I go, because I'm trying to think as I go, and I was operating from the phone to be able to see the navigation. But then I had to use the computer mouse to do the pointing at the different things. So it was like multitask all at once and videoing it.
That's pretty good multitasking, sweetie.
There's several.
I think it came out fabulously well.
That I kept doing, but it was trying to think off the cuff. So anyway, I wasn't really prepared to do a worksheet live, and I was making things up as I went. So anyway.
I think your verbiage on it was awesome, considering that you're manipulating the computer on Zoom with your mouse and you're switching over to your phone with your finger to do the type in and do the worksheet. I think it was awesome. I think it was just a great,
thank you,
great piece of information, and I learned from it. So if you haven't watched that, and even if you're an expert at using the app, watch it. It'll serve you well.
And also on the one on the website, you know, our website's 20-some thousand pages, and, of course, I didn't cover all 20,000 pages. However, I start off with when you type in whyagain.org and the home screen that you land on, and I explained everything that is on the screen when it first pops up in front of you. And then we started scrolling, and I explained things that were below that. So I think if you watch that as well, you'll be able to navigate around the website a little easier and find things and maybe find something that you didn't know before.
And that was Yinka's idea to she'd had people from the book club who were saying, well, how do I get here on the website? How do I get there? So that's when she asked Jeannie if she would do a video on the operation of the website. So it's pretty cool.
And she has put both of those on her book club YouTube site as well. So it's getting this out there. So we appreciate that. And
I think it's pretty cool that, I'm not sure, but I think 2 days a week, aside from the Why Is This Happening to Me Again book study twice a month, 2 days a week at 5 in the morning, her local time there in London, England, she has a group that gets together and does worksheets together. And at least one other person, you know, Grady Love, who you've heard on the show in the past, was listening to the book study club, and he had done a study at his church of the book back a couple of years ago. And he stepped in, and he worked with some of the people who were in the book club in doing worksheets, and then he inspired one woman to continue to do a book study or a worksheet session, group session on her own. So it's awesome what's happening there and how it's being inspired in this book study club. I don't know, we usually have somewhere between 50 and 70 people in it, and there are people from all over the world, from Asia and Australia and Europe and all over Europe, United States, Canada. It's a pretty fabulous group. So, and you can get all of the recordings of that on our YouTube channel, as well as Jean will show you if you listen to the video on how to use the website, where they are on the website as well. So they're in several different places to make them accessible. And the book study, you know, started right from day one with the book from zero, and we're going through the whole process of understanding why is this happening to me again. So it's another awesome product that we've got that helps people to take the tools and put them to work. And then these two videos you did yesterday are really fabulous, really. Very nicely done, and you look great in them, and your hair looks wonderful. I love what COVID did for us in terms of health and how it transformed how you take care of your hair and how pretty it looks. So you look great on the video.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And as Dr. Tim would say, deserving. So we've got about 15 or so minutes left. So if you're out there in listener land, it's time to push the button and say hello. If you have something on your mind, let's have a conversation. If not, my plan for this afternoon is to go out and do some work in the garden. And we're getting to where we're starting to looking at getting into hard freezes just about every night. So getting our compost piles all in order. And, you know, I bring that up to inspire you that ultimately if you're going to heal, you have to heal from the ground up, and you've got to eat real food. And, you know, even the smallest garden is a good start in having actual food. We actually went out and we went to see Jeannie's dad, and the home where he's staying had a big display of, you know, an autumn display type thing, and they were taking it down. So we're like, wait, can we have those pumpkins to put in our compost pile? So we brought back probably, 20, 40, 60, 80, probably over 100 pounds of pumpkin, which I chopped up yesterday and opened a new compost pile. And So that'll be our soil for next spring as we start growing. And we found last year when we started, it was the first year we had started doing different types of squashes, and the squashes just overran our main garden. So we're going to take the squashes out of that and kind of extend our main garden. It'll actually be growing space number 4. We're going to expand that out a little bit and use that just for the squashes and keep them out of the main garden because they really did interfere with some of the other plants we were growing. So we're going to have a squash garden, squash watermelon garden. We have an abundance of squashes from this past year, but it's all part of the learning process, all part of feeding ourselves and being in true vitality. Remembering that you can't grow food in dirt. Commercial growers grow what looks like food in dirt, and that's why it only looks like food, and that's one of the reasons that we have accelerating numbers of sickness actually this last couple of years. It's the first time in history that the life expectancy has gone down in America. And my offering is that part of it is because people are starving to death while they're filling their bellies to the point of obesity. So part of the process is, you know, you have to deal. If you're going to be holistic, holy, it means you got to start from the ground up. Not just your so-called body, not just your mind, not just your spirit, but the earth that provides that nutritional substance if it's actually grown in soil. So that's one of the things we've been working on is developing soil and growing. You know, the difference between dirt and soil is dirt is dead. Soil has life in it. And in order to actually grow food, you've got to have life in order to produce life. It doesn't come from dead soil. So that's all part of the process. So if you have any thoughts or comments on that, push one. Let's have a conversation. We've only got about, 11, 12 minutes left. So we'd love to hear from somebody rather than close the show out, but I'm ready to go to work on the garden if nobody else has a thought for us.
There are no
nothing
hands
happening
up.
In the chat room. No hands up.
No.
Well, I'm just going to say thank you to everybody for joining us. Last call. I'd rather have a conversation than say goodbye, but if nobody has a thought for us, then we're just going to express appreciation for you joining us and invite everybody to have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.